Up first this evening, Gavin Kelly, Chief Executive at the Road Freight Association. Gavin, what is happening in terms of the country's supply chains? Of course, lots of people are really, really still apprehensive about the security situation on the roads.
Good evening, Bruce, and good evening to all your listeners. A lot of apprehension. Let's start with that. I mean, nobody knows where the next attack is going to be. 5-6 days ago, it was a couple of isolated areas on the N3 and the N2, and one could get around those. And obviously, we rescheduled freight in our routes and tried to reschedule timing because it seemed to flare up, excuse the pun, at night. But it's spread out. It's gone into Mpumalanga. It's gone into Gauteng. And more importantly, it started going into the distribution warehouses. So the destinations and the originations of freight were being attacked. And then, of course, we've seen this massive attack on retail, both small retail, commercial retail, and shopping malls. So that is a problem. And what has it done to the supply chain? Well, right now, it's crippled it because there are many, many transporters who are taking the decision not to put their employees out there, not to bring their employees to work, not in any way to put anyone's lives in danger. Their assets are being stripped literally in front of their eyes, and there's nothing to move at the moment. Depending on what has been attacked or what hasn't been attacked, it's very difficult to get supplies into the distribution centers. So we at this stage are crawling, if there's any movement, crawling along.
And this is terrifying because this is across the entire country. These are all provinces where there is this level of apprehension simply because the unpredictability of where things could flare up next is effectively, it just seems too risky.
Well, Bruce, there are some provinces that are relatively quiet. And obviously there are provinces that are hotspots, KZN, a fair amount of KZN. There are parts of Gauteng and parts of Mpumalanga that are hotspots. There have been one or two little flares up in some of the other provinces, but they've generally been quite quiet. So one could say that freight is generally moving a lot easier there. What we have started to see in the last 2 days, and this has been incredible, as I have been gobsmacked in what's happened and the attacks on us, I too have been absolutely in awe seeing how communities are standing together, protecting some of their malls, protecting some of not even their logistical hubs, but actually going to protect those. So there are places where transport can happen, but obviously that main route, N3, KZN, Gauteng, and a lot of all of those distribution centers, which really is the hub of the country, is where the problem lies.
So how then do your risk assessment in terms of what is and is not worth the risk of doing the job for?
Well, obviously, you watch for the hot areas. We have reporting lines. We have information coming in from various sources, and the transporters then watch these. We are currently putting together an interactive map so that members can watch that and see what's happening. And that's the way you do it. You look at to see what the reports are coming in, what security companies are saying, and you make that decision. There are some routes, as I've said, that seem to be relatively safe. And then, of course, we try and get the South African Police Services to offer what support, what security they can. So it's very much on the ground, on the hour, and reading the risk as it is.
Gavin Kelly, thank you. He is Chief Executive of the Road Freight Association. Executive Director at AgriSA is Christo van der Rede, listening to us this evening from the Western Cape. What does this mean then for food supplies across the country, Christo? If the supply chain can't move, well, then food can't be delivered. And we then have the problem of perishable items, of course, going off and not getting to market.
You hit the nail on the head there. We've got serious problems in KZN. Our logistical network there has been completely at a standstill, and that is the core of the problem. The other big problem, obviously, is the areas where people have to access food. Our retail shops, big malls, have been looted, have been destroyed, I don't know how we're going to solve that problem. But I think critical for us is to get the logistical network up and running in KZN so that we can move food into the province and move food out of the province.
The last thing we want to do is sow any kind of panic about shortages and looming shortages in parts of the country where there hasn't been the level of disruption of KZN. I saw I'm sure he's a good friend of yours, Wandile Sehlobo, the agricultural economist, saying panic buying will potentially cause problems in the South African food supply chain that would otherwise not have been there. Food supply chains of the country are functional. We should not be panic buying stuff. Would you second his statement earlier on today?
Yes, but I want to qualify it. I think it's important that this looting and the mayhem do not spill over into other provinces. Then we're going to have a serious problem. I believe that the harbour in Durban has also been closed down. I'm not sure at this point in time whether it has opened again. And then the big problem is obviously the N3. It's blocked in both directions, and we need to open up because it is a major artery for imports and exports. But I think at this point in time, there's no real need for panic buying, but I'm more worried about the conditions in KZN where people cannot access food, and food supplies are in dire straits in some areas in the province.
Already. Thank you, Christo van der Reda, Executive Director at AgriSA. Gwarecha Manghose is the Chief Executive of the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa. You've listened to all of that, Gwarecha. What is your biggest concern this evening?
Yeah, so good evening, Bruce. And I do echo the sentiments of Christo and Gavin, but more poignantly, when you look across the retail sector, FMCG sector per se, we've had over 800 retail stores that have been looted, completely damaged and cleaned out, and over 200 shopping centers. And, of course, this has massive implications for consumers when it comes to access to food. But I think more worryingly is the critical need to protect what I would call strategic commercial assets, that is your manufacturing hubs. Because if you have manufacturing facilities being looted or being burnt, that then presents significant problems, as it is for matters pertaining to food security. And then, of course, the distribution sites. Some of them have been burnt. Others have been severely compromised. But it is absolutely critical that we protect these, because once you get those being burnt or severely compromised, then that then really presents fundamental challenges when it comes to matters around food security. But we are working via BUSA through a multi-sectoral approach with law enforcement in trying to secure critically the N3 route, because supply chains have to start moving, Bruce. Otherwise, we're going to have problems in the coming 24 to 36 hours. So it is vital that stores then also reopen, but of course they need to reopen on the basis of risk assessment, working closely with law enforcement and in particular visible policing, and protecting certain key nodal routes that then allows for safe passage of these critical trucks that will get food through to store.
Yeah, it's become a minefield. Thank you, Gwarecha, this evening. Gwarecha Mokhose, who is the Chief Executive of the Consumer Goods Council. Listening to all of that is the Nedbank Chief Executive, Mike Brown. And, of course, this is a very short-term, immediate emergency action that everyone's worried about at the moment, Mike Brown. But you, I think, are concerned about the longer-term consequences of what the last week means from an economic and a growth and a recovery perspective.
Yeah, Bruce, good evening, everybody. We're clearly also devastated and enormously concerned about the short-term impacts that we're seeing on infrastructure, supply chains, foods, all of those things that you've just spoken about. But the respect for the rule of law is a foundation for any country, and certainly what we're seeing today and over the last few days is a level of lawlessness that is, there can just be no good outcome for our country over the long term as a consequence.
And that is the biggest risk, isn't it? Because it goes to the very core of confidence. I mean, they say confidence is the cheapest form of stimulus that you can get. Losing confidence is also, I suppose, the most rapid destroyer of the future than you could possibly ever hope for.
Absolutely. And, you know, just when we were in a window period of beginning to restore some confidence, something like this could never happen at a good time, but it certainly could never happen at a worse time.
So paint a picture for me, please, Mike, in terms of the scenarios that you and your executive team are working through at the moment, in terms of how this works, in terms of the outlook for the recovery. What is your economics team telling you?
Well, so right now, our absolute focus is on the safety of our staff and customers, and you know, to thankfully at this stage, we've had no staff or customers injured at any stage, although we've got about 50% of our branches closed right now, and we've had damage to maybe about 50 branches and about 300 ATMs. But, you know, over the longer term, a lot of it depends on how quickly this is arrested. So while our economists are all sort of crunching numbers, those are relatively small changes, I would think, to things like this year's GDP forecast. Maybe it'll move from, you know, somewhere around about 4.8, 4.9 down to 4.5, 4.6. But I think the damage is much more on our ability to attract investment over the longer term, either externally or internally, because if people do not have the security of the rule of law as a foundation, and you know, money just simply will not take that risk, and rightly so. And however we look at this, this is primarily right now a law and order problem, which is the responsibility of government and the police.
It's ironic that it was precisely the state's commitment to law and order that may have been the catalyst for the early stages of what we've seen play out over the last week or so. And many of the instigators of this, according to Eyewitness News, which has been trying to track down some of those instigators, have gone to ground because suddenly you're realizing that, oops, it's got out of control. Or maybe this was the game plan. Who knows? The trouble is, you mess with confidence and you mess with investment, you really do mess with the ability of South Africa to keep paying the social grants, to keep growing the economy, which is the only way out of the mess of the last decade.
Absolutely. Look, I think, you know, the events of the last couple of days, I'm sure, have a very, very complex genesis of where they arose. And I'm sure, you know, we don't know that for sure just yet, but we will find out over time what the root cause has been. I'm sure that I would be sure that the root cause isn't just some law and order that was executed over the last few days. I think the root cause will go back many, many years around the environment of state capture and effectively lawlessness amongst the political elite in our society, which unfortunately leads to a weakening of the moral fabric and a weakening of our institutional fabric and the rise of criminal vigilantes. We've seen that in the likes of the construction industry, and this is that playing out at scale.
It most certainly is. Thank you, Mike Brown, Chief Executive of Nedbank. Really concerned. And again, the banking group has been hit directly with branches damaged, ATMs damaged, 300 ATMs. I mean, that's pretty serious. And other companies today coming out with statements in terms of the effects on them. Famous Brands saying that several Famous Brands and franchisee properties have suffered various degrees of damage. In KZN and Gauteng, to date, the total number of stores damaged and rendered not operational, 99, the vast majority being in KZN. Its logistics facility at Westmead in KZN has also been damaged. Cashbuild says that it's seen a huge impact as well, mainly again in Gauteng and KZN. As of this morning, a total of 36 stores had been damaged and looted, and currently unable to trade, and Cashbuild saying it's got insurance cover. But again, it's a question of, you know, having the confidence to rebuild. Maybe we get Pavlo to talk about how you rebuild after what we've seen over the last couple of days in terms of the economy. Huleman, it says it's located in a semi-industrial area in Pietermaritzburg in KZN. Since Sunday, the local climate around the company's operations has been volatile. A number of neighboring retail stores have been looted. To date, no damage to Huleman, which is good to see. And then from Maersk, who are the big global shipping company, saying it's shut down all of its depots, warehouses and cold stores in Durban and Joburg. Company spokesman saying on Wednesday the looting at is huge and continues, and the port of Durban, of course, shut for the last 24 hours. That is deadly, deadly serious stuff. But those are some of the updates from companies that came through today.